Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on iHeart or Radio MD. Download us. Thank you for doing so. And please do rate us. Tell your friends about us if you like. 50,000 of you hopefully can't be wrong. So hopefully we'll keep the tradition of asking good questions and getting meaningful answers from interesting guests. No doubt today's guest is an interesting guest. By the way, you're listening to podcast 868C. It's the second interview of the day. That's right. We have so many great guests. We ran to two interviews for a couple weeks in a row. And Paul Harsh is that. He is the author of The Oxygen Revolution, Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy, Breakthrough Gene Therapy for Traumatic Brain Injury and Other Disorders. It is published by a press name I can't even pronounce, but it is available. It's Hatherlee, Hatherleigh. It is available on Amazon.com. Let me just start with asking Dr. Harsh, who is a, if you will, a practitioner of this and uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy in his daily practice in Louisiana and New Orleans. How did he get involved in oxygen therapy in the first place?
By a very indirect route. And just to clarify things a little bit, yes, I am a practitioner, if you will, and all of this came about through clinical observation, but I'm also a clinical professor at LSU School of Medicine, New Orleans, and it's under them and their IRB that I do some of the studies that we've done. But it started when I came to New Orleans and found myself in an emergency medicine group that was the South Central United States and Central Gulf of Mexico referral area for all diving accidents. And of course, this area of the country, we have a large oil and gas industry, especially offshore in the Gulf of Mexico. And we were treating amongst the wound patients, you use hyperbaric oxygen therapy for all of the commercial and sport scuba divers who had decompression sickness. And I became very interested in the divers with brain decompression sickness, which is an area of decompression sickness not often talked about, but in fact is very common. And so that's how I ended up in this field.
Let's go back a little. You went to medical school at Hopkins.
Yep.
And Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Maryland, and then trained in emergency medicine.
No, I actually did 2 years of general surgery, University of Colorado, and had a very bad car accident, took medical leave, and ended up through a practice track in emergency medicine, and also had a year of radiology training along the way. So I've been a career emergency medicine, and hyperbaric medicine became a part of the practice experience, and with some additional training, became the dominant part of what I ended up pursuing.
So let's talk about hyperbaric oxygen and diving injury, and that is, why is it, what is hyperbaric, and why do divers need hyperbaric oxygen from time to time if they have a diving accident? Explain that to us.
Well, hyperbaric means increased pressure, or at least increased pressure above ambient atmospheric pressure. And the reason divers need hyperbaric treatment is when you descend below sea level and breathe underwater, every depth that you are at, you are breathing air under pressure. And under pressure, you take up in all your body tissues the inert nitrogen that's in the air we breathe. So we have 79% nitrogen in the air. As you go underwater deeper and deeper, you are taking up and storing that nitrogen. Now, we also take up the oxygen, but we use it. When you come up from that depth, regardless of how long you're down, you have to get rid of that nitrogen. And if you come up and do it properly, you breathe it out through the lungs. But everybody who dives for any dive, when they do come up, a certain amount of it gets released as nitrogen bubbles. into the circulation where it goes back to the heart and lungs. And depending on how fast you come up, how long you've been down, et cetera, you can produce too many bubbles and from that become symptomatic, and that is decompression sickness.
And so the decompression sickness comes from these bubbles.
Yeah.
And especially when they get to the bubbles of nitrogen, and especially when they get to vital areas. Now,
correct.
Why does hyperbaric oxygen help that or reduce the injury from that?
It helps it from a number of standpoints. So that separated gas that ends up in the circulation, in tissues, around joints, can go in blood vessels to the brain and to all tissues in the body. When you go back under pressure in a chamber, you compress those bubbles. And when you then, in the chamber, have the breathing gas of oxygen, you get high concentrations of oxygen in your body, and you exchange the nitrogen in those bubbles for the oxygen in your blood and in your body, and you resolve the bubbles. The other thing that happens is
oxygen, if you will, so that's one of the ways we resolve those bubbles is we actually use that bubble gas in our metabolic processes. Is that right?
Exactly. And the other big component of it is the second you separate gas, i.e. bubbles, anywhere in the body, it immediately begins the inflammatory reaction. And it turns out, and this was not appreciated when hyperbaric oxygen was first used for divers, but it's now really a dominant part of all hyperbaric oxygen therapy for any condition. It inhibits the inflammatory reaction.
So now let's go and talk a little bit about oxygen physiology, and then I want to get into intermittent hyperbaric oxygen, since that was such an interesting, at least to me, an interesting part of the book.
Yeah.
And this book is called The Oxygen Revolution. It's in its third edition, so it's not a new book. It's well-established, and it is kind of a Bible of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And part of the Bible is that he talks about both new techniques and the science of what it does. That is why it works. So let's just talk a little bit about oxygen physiology, if you will. Most oxygen in us breathing room air is carried on hemoglobin. Is that right?
Yes.
And so talk to us about how much is dissolved in our blood that isn't in hemoglobin, and how much extra you can get when you are in a pressurized atmosphere.
At sea level, and you're in New York, I'm in New Orleans, so I'm a little below sea level, but at sea level, 98 to 99% of our hemoglobin is saturated with the oxygen that we're breathing from the air. So it only takes a very small amount to have complete saturation of the hemoglobin. But simultaneously, we have a very small percent, or less than 5%, that's dissolved in the liquid portion of the blood. And once you go in a chamber, so if we add oxygen from the little nasal tube to a mask to the full mask with the little reservoir, 100% O2, you raise the oxygen pressure, and all of that gets dissolved in the liquid portion. If you now go in a hyperbaric chamber and increase the pressure further, you can dissolve even more oxygen in. And by the time you get up to 3 atmospheres, which is the equivalent to pressure if you went scuba diving, 66 feet of seawater below the surface, you now have enough oxygen in the liquid portion of the blood alone that you do not need the red blood cells. And this was done in 1960 in the Netherlands. They took pigs, removed all the blood, and put saline in their system while they were in a chamber under 3 atmospheres of oxygen. And the pigs were alive and happy. And it was called Life Without Blood.
Mm-hmm. more with Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast coming up. Here's the deal. To truly thrive in all areas of your life, you cannot ignore the importance of good health. I've learned this firsthand, and for many of us, time is our most valuable asset. This is why I love Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder you just add water to get your greens anytime, anywhere, without the mess. Plus, you can now enjoy Organifi Red Juice Powder too. When you invest in your health, you gain more time because you have more energy and focus to get through your day. The best thing about Organifi Green and Red Juice is that it actually tastes good. Try it for yourself. Use the code YOU, Y-O-U, at Organifi.com. That's O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I.com. Once again, use the code YOU, that's Y-O-U, to receive 20% off your order at Organifi.com. And You, the Owner's Manual podcast is brought to you by Memory Rescue, the brand new book that can help you with your memory. Let's hear from its author.
Hi, I'm Dr. Daniel Amen, author of a new book called Memory Rescue. Memory Rescue teaches you how to prevent future problems, but if you're having memory problems now, how to rescue it, how to get it back so that everything in your life can be better. Plant the habits that I talk in your life. I know it'll make a dramatic difference for you and for those you love.
It's important that you receive this information. Get your copy of Memory Rescue by Dr. Daniel Amen. Learn more at memoryrescuebook.com. That's memoryrescuebook.com. And now back to Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast.
So the amount of oxygen dissolved in the blood, if you could give us a relative amount. So you said it's a small amount when one is at room, at sea level or even below sea level by a little bit in Louisiana.
Right.
But it is considerably greater at 3 atmospheres. And what's the difference in that?
So right now at sea level, we have about 20 volumes percent, and about 19.5 volumes percent or so is on hemoglobin. And the other 0.5% roughly is the amount dissolved in liquid. I said 5% before. It's much less. It's about 0.5%. When you get in a chamber and go on pure oxygen at pressure, if you get up to 3 atmospheres, you'll have about 6.5 volumes percent dissolved in the liquid portion. So total in the blood, hemoglobin plus dissolved, about 26.5%. The extraction fraction for all of our vital organs, heart, brain, kidney, etc., is a little over 5 volumes percent. So you have enough in just the liquid portion that is freely transferable to all the vital organs in the body just from that dissolved oxygen. And you got some to spare, actually a lot to spare. And
go ahead. Sorry, I didn't.
That was thought to be the exclusive reason why this high concentration of oxygen that you would give to the body, then withdraw, that was responsible for all of the good physiologic changes, tissue growth, inhibition of inflammation, and so on, that hyperbaric oxygen, that was attributed to hyperbaric oxygen. But in fact, there's another component that was not appreciated, and it was the effect of pressure alone, hydrostatic pressure independent of the oxygen.
And now let me get to one of the interesting areas of your book, and he goes through the classic diseases of burns and the current uses for hyperbaric oxygen. But then in this book called The Oxygen Revolution, third edition, Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy by Dr. Paul G. Harsch, H-A-R-C-H, it talks about other things. And one of the interesting things is you have a trip to the oxygen bar, and you talk about the value of intermittent oxygen. So talk to us a little bit about that, because I found that unusual and interesting and informative?
Well, it begs the question of what are we doing with an intermittent versus a tonic sustained exposure to increased oxygen? As you know, standard of care now for heart attacks, strokes, any emergent condition, usually at the scene, paramedics deliver high flow oxygen by mask, bring people into the emergency room. But what's now happened, we used to leave people on there for 12 or 24 hours, and you wouldn't get any of the hyperbaric oxygen effects. And in fact, what happens, the body adapts to it, and you start getting toxic effects. And so now what's happened is to get people off that excess oxygen as soon as possible. But when you deliver it and withdraw it within a short period of time, it acts differently. It turns out it is a signal, and the signal target is our DNA. And so what is happening is we are using oxygen at pressure, but even normal baric oxygen, like you describe at the oxygen bar, is a signaling agent to our DNA to turn genes on and genes off. What's now been shown and not been understood for the entire 5 years of hyperbaric therapy is that every time you go in a hyperbaric chamber, we've identified, or it's been identified scientifically, that over 40% of all of the protein codable genes in our DNA are turned on or turned off temporarily, 8,101 of them. And that is the secret behind hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
And so part of this turning on is it turns on anti-inflammatory genes, genes that decrease inflammation, and it turns off genes that promote inflammation, much as stress turns on genes that promote inflammation. Is that, yes, is that a correct understanding? That's part of what I took from your book.
That is exactly right. And what the largest clusters of the turned on genes are the anti-inflammatory genes and the ones that code for growth and repair hormones. In other words, stimulation of cell division. And the largest clusters of the turned off ones are the pro-inflammatory genes and the ones that code for programmed cell death. So every time we go in a hyperbaric chamber, the intermittent exposure to increased pressure and oxygen, and it's the two of them together and independently that are stimulating both separate and overlapping gene sets, cause inhibition of inflammation, stimulation of tissue growth and repair, and turning off programmed cell death.
And do we know why it does this? What's the trigger? Is it releasing something someplace that does this? Or are we still left, if you will, that's still to be discovered?
Boy, you're getting into deep philosophy here, because this is something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. If you're a creationist, you have to say we were created this way for some purpose. I think it's for adaptability, since, you know, environmental conditions of pressure and oxygenation can change. We go, you know, up to mountains, and of course now we're out in space. But if you think of it in terms of evolutionarily, same reason. It serves a purpose with changing environmental conditions. And what's been shown is that the mechanism of action is pressure, oxygen, pressure sensitive, ion-gated channels in the membranes of cells. And for the pressure component, it's felt to be due to deformation of the cell wall, which then transmits that deformation and strain force via the proteins and other macromolecules on the inside of the cell membrane through the cytoskeleton to the nucleus. So it's a vibration and a kinetic energy transfer, and the final steps of how that is causing gene expression is not completely known.
And let me ask you now, one of the sections of your book is HBOT, an anti-aging tool.
Yes.
And HBOT, high hyperbaric oxygen therapy for HBOT, obviously, and an anti-aging tool. Do you mean more than its anti-inflammatory properties?
Yes.
Should people, in other words, the question is, should people regularly have oxygen, hyperbaric oxygen, to slow their rate of aging? How much does it do? What does it do in animals for this? It's such a fascinating topic, and so many of us are concerned with aging as we get older. What do you think its role is, and is there a substitution for hyperbaric, which is in a relatively few places?
Well, a very broad topic. There is not a lot, in fact, there's very little animal research on this. And the statements I've made in the book about this are the result of treatment now of so many elderly patients with cognitive decline, premature cognitive decline, and or overt dementia, and patients that I've treated with progeria-type syndromes. And we know
so
that aging...
we should say progeria symptoms, syndromes are premature
Premature aging. And so, for instance...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, when I started this and started looking at neurological conditions, chronic neurological conditions using hyperbaric oxygen, I felt that the genetic disorders we could have absolutely no effect on. And I was wrong when the first patient was referred, and it was a patient with ceroid lipofuscinosis of the brain. It is a terminal condition that everybody dies by 25 years of age that involves the fatty acid defect in cell membranes. And we were able to show clinically and with functional brain imaging in this young woman that she improved neurologically and brain blood flow and metabolism improved after a course of hyperbaric oxygen. And we know that aging is a DNA-based phenomenon that is modulated, of course, by all of our life experiences, the things that epigenetically affect us, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, stress, pesticides, chemicals, you name it. And through gene expression and suppression, inflammation, tissue growth, affecting turnover and repair of injury. In fact, what I have found is that we're able to reverse this damage process in premature aging and give people back or extend their lives and quality of life, which was not predictable before.
Now, does it work on things other than the brain? In other words,
yes.
The diseases you're specifying or have talked about so far involve what we might call brain aging. Does it work on, for example, joints, or does it work on lung tissue? Is it because of its anti-inflammatory properties or its gene signaling properties? Have you seen benefits elsewhere? And then
yes.
If you have, how do we take advantage of this if we don't own our own hyperbaric chamber?
The answer is yes. You see this once fully enclosed in that chamber, the entire body is exposed to the increased pressure and to increased oxygen. So areas of injury and inflammation are indiscriminately simultaneously treated. The problem is that different tissues and processes can have different sensitivities to different pressures and oxygen levels. So you end up, it is a purely empiric treatment where you have to follow the patients clinically. And the problem, as you mentioned, is there aren't hyperbaric chambers in every hospital, and the pricing of it in the hospitals is completely outrageous. So for the most part, these conditions are not treatable in hospital setting. And what's been found now is that our bodies and much of this pathology is sensitive to these oxygen and pressure levels that can be achieved with more affordable hyperbaric systems, which are now going into all sorts of health practitioners' offices. And in fact, people are buying them and using them personally. There's a lot of news out about athletes and others who have used them for personal indications.
But when
the problem is the dosing is not yet well defined. And that's going to take some more time.
And we should warn people there is a risk in anytime you have a hyperbaric situation. That is, anytime you go down to depth, there is a risk. So this is not for amateurs to do. It is a skilled set of techniques that are needed. We've been talking to Paul Harsch, The Oxygen Revolution, third edition of the book Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy, Breakthrough Gene Therapy for Traumatic Brain Injury and Other Disorders. It's a remarkable book in both talking about science and describing science in a way, in an enviable way that allows all of us to understand it better. The book again, The Oxygen Revolution, in its third edition. Dr. Harsh, thank you very much for being a guest on You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast. Again, we release a new show for every Tuesday. Please do download us. Please tell your friends about us if you enjoy us. Even if you don't enjoy us, you're welcome to tell your friends about us. And of course, I want to thank Randall for great engineering and Paul Harsh, physician and practitioner of hyperbaric oxygen therapy, for coming on and being so generous with his time. Thanks again.